Morning, one and all. We are on Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and let's get underway. Okay, we talked about we're in the middle, towards the end of the 10th parak of Chulin. We're discussing the Matanos. Every time you shecht an animal, so you must give portions of that animal to the Kohen, Zerolachai, the Keva, the right front leg, the jaw, and the stomach, the fourth stomach of the animal. These Matanos are one of the 24 Matanos that are given to a Kohen. What makes this noteworthy and different than the other Matanos is that they don't have Kedusha, they don't have any intrinsic value. We talked yesterday about how even if you didn't separate these Matanos from the animal is not Oster, it's not Tevel. It's not like your classic Truma, where prior to your separation of Truma, the remaining part, the part that stays by the balabais, is Aser. It's Tevel. Here, by the Zolachai Mekeva, even if without separating these portions, the other part of the animal is not Tevel. It's not prohibited to eat. There was an opinion in the Gemara that says that you're not allowed to eat the animal, but the Gemara concedes that that's not the halacha. The halacha is you are allowed to give the animal even without having given Zolachai Mekeva. Rav Chisto, the statement of Rav Chisto we did yesterday as well. Right? Where did we get up to yesterday? Oh, we're towards... right, okay. We ended with the 22-year Cherem and what can happen after the 22-year Cherem. Correct. Okay, Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we are. Second wide line on the page, on 132B, and it's the last word in line, starting with the words Amar Rav Chisto. Okay. There are three parts of that of the matanos that go to the kohen. Three parts of the animal that go to the kohen. So Amar Rav Chisda Zrawa Leechad Keva Leechad Lechayim Lishnayim. So how many kohanim can you get in the act? Meaning you have shechted an animal, and now you have the portions that are given to the kohen. So you could have said, you could have made an argument that all three of them go to one kohen, meaning it's basically a package deal. And the Gemara says that's not the case. At least Rav Chisda is of the opinion that that's not the case. Rav Chisda says that you can give the Zroa to one Kohen. Keva, you'll give to another Kohen. And the Lechayayim, you'll give to two Kohanim. Now the Lechi is viewed as two components. Why should that be? I don't know. In other words, maybe it's both cheeks? I'm not really sure. I don't fully understand why that should be. That the two Kohanim get the one Lechayai, but the Lechayai are considered a double portion, and so therefore you can break that up. Ini, the Gemara says, V'aki also, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar bar Merava, Pagin lehu garma garma. So the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, they would even further subdivide it, meaning that you didn't even have to give one leg to one Kohen, but you could take the leg, you could divide it even to further pieces, and give those pieces to multiple Kohanim. So you can even get more Kohanim in the act. So the Gemara says, "Garma garma." I'm sorry, "Pagin lehu garma garma." They would divide it by bone. Hasam b'detar. So the Gemara says, very simple. There's no machlokus. In Eretz Yisrael, when they further subdivided the matanos to the kohen, that's because it was talking about a bull. It was a huge animal, and so therefore you could take the leg, further subdivide it, and that would be significant. Look at the Rashi. Hasam b'detar. Rashi, two lines before the lines get wide. Shor ha-gadol. Talking about a big animal. Sheyavar v'gadolim b'yoser. The limbs are really big. It's still significant, even if you take the leg and further subdivide it. But by a small animal, you take that tiny little leg of a lamb or a goat, and you further divide it. Remember, the operative word over here is nesina. You got to give it to the kohen. It's got to be a gift. A gift has got to be significant. V'rachmana amar v'nasan l'kohen, nesina yafa. The operative word over here is nasan, you got to gift it. Well, if it's really, you know, in other words, you know when someone comes to your house and they, you know, hand you this little thing and you look at it and you smile and you say thanks. In other words, it's not significant. And the operative word, anytime you have a matanos kahuna, there's got to be nesina. It's got to be something significant. All right. Amar Rav Abba Chanan, Rav Yochanan, Asa Lechol Mi Behema Shalohurma Manaseha. Okay. This is how I introduce today's daf. There is an opinion in the Gemara, quoting the name of Yochanan, that you're not allowed to eat an animal prior to you taking off matanos. Meaning, this position of Rav Yochanan basically believes that matanos is no different than truma. You can't eat produce until you take off truma. You can't eat an animal until you take off the matanos. It's like you eat tevel. And the Gemara immediately rejects v'leis hilchasa kavasei. That's not the halacha. That's not the halacha.
What's the onus of eating tevel?
Misa b'dei shamayim. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Amar Rav Chisda, back to the Gemara. Manos kahuna ina chalos elatzli. Now here we're given instructions in terms of how to prepare the matanos. I mean, not instructions for us. We're not the Kohanim. But when you give it to the Kohanim, how do they prepare it? They got to roast it. Okay, it's got to be grill, okay, barbecue. Eina chalas ala bechar dal, and they have to have it with mustard. Okay, now, usually, and the Gemara's about to ask. Usually, we're not that directive to the Kohanim where we tell them this is how you have to prepare it, and you have to have it with mustard. Like in other words, it's a little bit strange that as a halacha, the Kohanim are told exactly how to eat it. Okay, perfect. The Gemara is about to ask. So my time, the Gemara is going to ask? No, the Gemara is not going to ask. Tosfos is going to ask. I'll get to Tosfos in just a second. My time, Amakra, lim mashcha. The Torah says that when you eat your, when the Kohen eats its portions, it's mashicha. Mashicha means anointed. Meaning, the Gemara says, ligadula keder shamalachim ochlim. It's like they're eating the king's portion. So when you eat the king's portion, you got to eat like a king.
Right.
So you got to be prepared like a king. And what better way to eat than a barbecue? So it's got to be grilled, and it's got to have a mustard on it. Now, Tosfos says, there's the Gemara in Zvachim, and look at the second to last Tosfos on the page. That if a Kohen wants to eat his carbon, he can eat it any which way he prefers. If he wants it cooked meat, cooked meat. If he wants it roasted, roasted. So the Amar Bigmar time mishum diksiv buhul mashcha perish legedula keterach shamalachim ochlim. Meaning the king is not told how to eat his meat. The king tells the others how he wants to eat his meat. So it is a little bit difficult. Tosfos is raising a very good issue because our Gemara says no. The derech malucha is to roast it. Vinira. So Tosfos makes the following suggestion in terms of how to be miyashev, how to reconcile the two Gemaras. Devada kamosha tovlo v'nena yoser mati achalahu. Okay. So Tosfos will say, I think the Gemara in Zvachim is really accurate in the sense that the way you prefer it, that's the way you should eat it. However, achalahu avala adam shetovlo sli kishalak mevusha yochot sli shu derech Gedula Yoser. But if all else is equal, if everything is equal, meaning does it cooked, roasted? I don't care. Whatever. If all else is equal, then roast it. Roasting it is a more illustrious way to eat it if there's no preference in terms of taste. Okay. That's how Tosfos explains
it. Saying the roasted, they're just saying that make sure you're doing it in the most mechubadik way.
That's not how Tosfos learns. Tosfos learns that if your taste is, if you don't have a preference, then roast it.
Okay.
It is strange, though. In other words, it doesn't. From our Gemara, it's not that way. But
yeah.
I understand Tosfos is trying to resolve the two Gemaras.
Well, sli may have been a sign of the hypocrisy.
Right.
On Pesach, sli ate so much.
Right. Right. And we ate. We were no longer in Eved.
Right.
That's correct. Amar Chista Esen V'Arba Matanas Kahuna Kol Kohen Shein Abaki Behem Einos Nin Lo Matana. Okay. We talked a little bit yesterday about standards. There are standards. Which coin you're going to give it to? So here the Gemara is going to provide standards, which is that you have to be a baki bahem. You have to know about your matnas kahuna. Now there are 24 of them. Today, God willing, we're going to get to the listing. Kufla Megim Amud Beis. We have a listing of 24. We'll go through all 24 of them later today. But right now, let's just talk about the standards. What are the standards in terms of a kohen being eligible to receive? So the Gemara says he has to be baki b'hem. He has to be an expert in them. Rashi, hechdem matana hech ne'echalim v'gdula. You have to know how they're apportioned. You have to know how to eat them. Okay, you got to know things about the matanos. The Gemara says v'lav milsehi. And the Gemara says rejected, meaning that's not the standard. You don't need that kind of standard. You have to have, and this is a lower standard, you don't have to have a knowledge of how to, you simply have to have a knowledge of a basic belief system. Now we get into a little bit of hashkafa over here. Basic belief system, what belief system are we talking about? Again, I go back to Rashi, and Amod Bavodesh, Amar Belibo Divrei Hevel Hain. Velotsive Hamakum Lahakriv Lo Karbanos. Ela Moshe Bada Milibo. Rashi says that if a Kohen says, none of this is divine, the Torah was not divinely ordained, Moshe made it up. Kohen says something like that, he's not getting the Matnos Kahuna. Okay, that's heresy. And so, basically, and it's a lower standard, meaning the only Kohen who's going to be disqualified from receiving the Matnos Kahuna is when he's a heretic. Okay? And does not believe in the authenticity and the divine nature of the Torah. Okay. Otherwise, he's fine. He's eligible. Meaning as long as he has a basic belief system in the divine nature of the Torah, so then he can qualify. Shene'emar. Now, how the Gemara says, how do I know this? This is a continuation of the Braisa. Hamakrifas dama shlamim v'esachel mimnei aron lo tiyah shoka yamin lamana. Hamakrifas dama shlamim, anyone who offers the blood of the shlamim and the chel of mimnei aron, lo tiyah shok hamana. So to him will be the, he'll get the portion, meaning this is now talking about shlamim. So that, what does he get from the shlamim? Chazi v'shok. Ein li ala zebavad, minayin l'rabos chamash esrei avodos, kegon. So the Gemara says, and not just this avoda, but all the avodas, and here we go, list of 15. We're doing list today. We're going to do later on this morning the list of 24 matnas kahuna, and right now we're going to do the list of 15 different types of avodas. Yitzika belila, those are, pesisos, those have to do with the mincha preparation. Yitzika, remember, was the pouring of the oil. Belila was the mixing of the oil and flour. Pesisa, the breaking up. Certain menachos need to be broken up. Hamalicho, salting. Well, everything gets salted. Everything. Tenufos, the waving. Certain karbanos get waved. Hagashos, that's by the mincha, the presentation of the mincha to the mizbech. Kemitza, that's when the kohen takes his fist, puts it into the mincha to take out a fistful of the mincha to be burnt on the mizbech. Haktara, that's the actual burning of the kemitza. Take out the next word. Malika. Malika is the killing of the bird. Using your thumbnail to insert into the back of the neck of the bird. The Kabbalah. That's the accepting of the blood. The Hazar. The sprinkling of the blood. Hashka. Sota. Giving water to the Sota. It's called an Avoda. Arifas Egla Arufa. The breaking of the neck of the Egla Arufa. That's called an Avoda. That's interesting. That's done outside the base of Mikdash. Taharas Mitzorah. The purification of the Mitzorah. Rashi says that we're talking about the bird process. Unisias kapayim, bein mibifnim, bein mimechutz, and duchening. Duchening is considered an avoda. 15 various avodas. Where the Gemara says mibechutz tamalam ribnei aron avoda ha'amura livnei aron. This is the avoda that's said to the bnei aron. Now the reason why we quoted this entire brisa is for the next words. V'chol kohen she'eino modaba ein lo chelek b'kohuna. And which Kohen qualifies, he has to be modaba, he has to admit. Admit over here means he needs to have a basic belief system as we discussed previously. Time deino modaba ha modaba, afakav deino baki bahen. And so the Gemara says, and that's it, meaning that's the only qualification. Does he need to be proficient in the laws of the matanos? No. He doesn't need to be. He still will qualify to be a recipient, even though he doesn't know all the halachot.
Just to know that there are 15.
Just to know there are 15, and just to know that they are divine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us.
This 15 doesn't have anything to do with the 15 steps and 15.
Could be. You want to make that connection? I'm with you. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chutin Shebalech Yasurin V'chol Kohen She'enu Yodeh Litlani Notlan Lamatana. Okay, there are big veins running up the neck, big arteries running up the neck. carotid artery, runs up the neck. So the problem is that that has a lot of blood. And you have to know how to drain it. And so the Gemara says that if you have a Kohen who doesn't know, don't give him the lechi. Because the lechi includes the, in other words, the lechi is the cheek, but it's more than that. It's really the entire jaw structure of the animal.
The entire head?
Yeah, right? The entire head? I don't know. I don't know if the brain needs to be given to the Kohen. I guess because you may
the,
get
the carotids are going to the...
I understand. I'm not sure if it's the entire brain.
External.
You may be able to keep the brain. Right. I think it's just the lower jaw. I think so. So, Enos and Lomatana Velohi, the Gemara says, but that's not accurate. That, again, the Gemara says it's just simply not an accepted position. Habitavia may davdavi, because look, if you're going to roast the animal, so you know roasting is fantastic blood extraction. And if the ilakadera, and if you're not planning on roasting it, if you want to cook it, which is funny because the Gemara just a couple of lines ago said that you have to roast it, okay? Makes us really understand. Tosos is right, meaning that if you have a preference, you can go with your preference. Ila kedere demachtech luhu malach luhu made of daiva. And look, if you want to cook it, so that's also not such a big deal, because what you do is you cut it, meaning you allow for draining, and then you salt it. And salting is another form of blood extraction. Okay. Amar Rava. Now, how aggressive should a Kohen be? How aggressive should a Kohen be? Now we've been discussing for the duration of the 10th parak of Chulin that these are matanos. Now these are gifts. Now when someone comes to your house for Shabbos, you're not expecting a gift. If they give it to you, that's great. If not, that's also fine. But in other words, a Kohen over here has an entitlement to receive this gift. So how, right? And you know, and he's looking forward. So how aggressive should he be? So, Badaglan Rav Yosef, hi kana dechatif matanasa chavu v'kame chavu mitzvah, zuzu kame zalza mitzvah. So, Rav says, I got tested by Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef asked me the following question. You have a Kohen who grabs his matanos, okay? Knocks on your door, doesn't even knock, right? Allows himself in, sees that you just shefted an animal, helps himself to the matanos, to the head, and to the leg, and to the fourth stomach. So what is that? Is that chiba ha-mitzvah? Is he showing a love to the mitzvah? Or zilzulei kamazalza? Or is that a degradation? Upashtana leva nasan velo shita mi'atzma. Okay, so I think the answer is very obvious. Meaning, the Torah says, in describing this mitzvah, v'nasan, and you're going to give. So a gift, the way a gift works, is that it is an act of the gifter, not an act of the receiver. So that is overly aggressive. Okay, good. Amar Abai Meresha v'chatifta matanasa. Now Abai says originally what I would do is I would be chotef, meaning I didn't know. I thought otherwise. I thought that it's good to grab it. And I thought, amina chivuvi kamechaviv na mitzvah. I thought it was a phenomenal demonstration of how much I love the mitzvah. Kevin Shamela v'nasim v'lo shi'itom me'atzmo mechtav lo chatifna. So Abai says, but I changed.
Abai was a coin.
Abaye was mi b'nei Eli. He was a descendant of Eli. Now, you remember the curse. The curse was is that the sons of Eli do not live long lives. Now, remind me, Stuart. One of them, Abaye and Rava, were both mi b'nei Eli. One of them lived longer.
Right. Which is the Rava or Rava
lived longer? Right. I'm going to get to that. Tosos is going to discuss which one we're talking about. But what, it was the Rava Rava, right, lived longer. Abaye lived only till 40, I believed. As I get older and older, I start to...
That's young.
I know. It was young then as well. Yeah. That was a part of the curse. Part of the curse of being B'nai Eli is that you die at a young age. So, Michtav lo chatifta. So fine. So Abai says, so I didn't take. Meimar amri havu li. So okay, fine. So, but then what I did is simply, I said, okay, let me have it. I didn't physically take it, but I asked. Kevin Shaman Lu Detanya Vayetu Achare HaBetza, Rabbi Meir Omre B'nei Shmuel Chalkam Shalu B'fihem. Now, the Pasuk in describing the sons of Shmuel were not cast in the best light. In fact, the Pasuk in Shmuel says Vayetu Achare HaBetza. Betza means bribery. Right? It's a very unflattering term. And the Gemara says that the sons of Shmuel, they weren't bribed. All they did was they asked for their portion, and that's tantamount to bribing, to bribery. So the Gemara says, so Abayi says, so once I heard that, I stopped asking for it.
But Shmuel was a Kohen?
No.
Levi.
No, huh? Shmuel, no, this is Shmuel the Navi.
Yeah, Shmuel.
So, no, Chalkam, I don't know if it means Matnas Kahuna. Right? Amar Shalom Hayav, Erez Gazal B'Yadam, Elchak Leviyah, Lechelk Leviyah, Rashi says, Kegon Maisarishan Hayisholim B'Fihem. Chalkam just simply means their portion.
Shmuel was from which tribe?
Shmuel was a Levi? Shmuel was a Levi, I guess. Yeah, and a Nazir. Okay. So Abai says, fine. So I moved up a madrega, right? Spiritually growing. So I stopped taking, I stopped asking. This is Abai. I stopped even taking. Why? Based on a Mishnah in Yuma. The Mishnah in Yuma describes the base of Mikdash after the death of Shimon HaTzadik. A little bit of history. Right? The second temple opened up, and one of the premier Kohanim of that second temple was Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik is known best with his episode with Alexander the Great. Right. After the Gemara in Yuma says that once Shimon HaTzadik died, a number of things stopped in the Beis HaMikdash. Really, he was Shimon HaTzadik Mehayam Yishayara Knesset HaGadola. He was really a throwback to the first temple and to the way it once upon a time was. After his death, so things stopped working well in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the things that stopped working well was the Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim was 12 loaves of bread. And it was divided amongst the Kohanim, and because it had so much bracha in the Lechem Aponim, so you ate a little bit, and you became full and satisfied. After the death of Shimon HaTzadik, it didn't work that way. In other words, basically, it filled you up like regular food filled you up. And there were a lot of Kohanim, and so the Mishnah in Yuma describes that the Tznuin Moshkin Es Yedehem. So the modest Kohanim, meaning the Kohanim who didn't elbow their way to the middle of the Kiddush, you know, the ones who stood in the back. So Moshkin es Yadayim, they retracted, meaning they understood, it's not worth it. I'm not going to fight to get a piece of the Lechem upon him. And the Gargaranim, right, those Kohanim who were a little more aggressive, if you will, and, right? Right, a Gargara, it's, you know, He's a fresser. That's a good word to describe it. Doesn't help our friends here in the front, but it is a good word, a good way to describe it. So gachokin. So they would take. And Abai says, now I don't want to be amongst the gargaranim. I want to be from the tznuim. So Abai says, so I stopped even taking. Mishkan namal shokin labar mimala yuma de kupur. I would take, however, one day a year, I would take matanas just to remind everyone that I'm a kohen. Okay, lachzuka nafshai bekahane. Fine. Because I didn't want people to think, oh, why doesn't Abayi take from the Matanos? Oh, maybe he learned he wasn't a Kohen. He didn't want any of that, so therefore he took. The Gemara's next question. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'lifros yadei. So the Gemara says he needed to do that to prove that he was a Kohen. I understand, don't you duchen every day? Right. Now us Ashkenazim, what could I tell you? We forgot how to duchen. I understand. But at least the Sfarnim here in this room know, and anyone who's an Eretz Yisrael knows, Yiduchin every day. That's the mitzvah. The Rebbe just spoke about it on Friday night. So Yiduchin every day. Okay, so what happened? We forgot. So Abai couldn't prove his Kohen status by Duchin every day. Listen to the Gemara's answer. It's so fascinating, huh? Or getting an Aliyah. The Gemara could have asked that question as well. This answer will really answer both questions. Anse le idne. Now the words literally mean he was an anus, forced by time. So what does that mean? So there is a Rashi over here. What an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, "Itim shekav la tamidav hayutordano so milisas kapav shaya osek la tamidav the eishat siber nesaflam beisakineses." At the time when there was shul, otherwise what we call tefillah b'tzibur, When people congregate in shul, so he set up a time to learn with his students. He learned with his students during that period of time. He did not go to shul. Now, does Rashi mean that he didn't daven b'tzibur on account of the fact that he had shir, right? He was learning with his students at the time. I don't know. Hard to imagine. Hard to conceive. Right. So what I would like to assume, even in this Rashi, even though Rashi doesn't say it to be fair, what I would like to assume is that the students made a minyan for him in his own house. Right. So he had a private minyan. He didn't go to the big show. He didn't go to the shul. He didn't go to the 9 a.m. minyan. You know what I mean? He was quiet. He was much more private in terms of that. That's Rashi's pshat. If you take a look, the Rif offers a different pshat altogether, and the Rif says chole b'meyav. The Rif says he had bad stomach issues. Meaning, and it fits in a little bit better with the words of the Gemara, because anus, right? The Gemara uses the words anus. Anus usually means beyond its control, right? In other words, having students in your house because that's a shir, you know, hard to call that an anus. You know, one time, two times, I understand, but every single day?
We're talking about Abaye, right?
We are still talking about Abaye, that's correct. Okay, anyway, very interesting. So again, though, so what do we see from Abaye? So originally he took the matanos. He stopped taking, he then asked. He stopped asking, he only allowed to be given. He even stopped receiving, meaning moving up in Madrega in terms of the understanding of it's good to get a gift, but not, you know, it's better to stay away. Amar of Yosef, Hai Kahana de Islet Sorba Mirabana Bishavavuse, Udechik Le Milsa Liz Kale Matanasa, V'af Agav Dolo Asole Yade. Rav Yosef says, let's say you're a Kohen living in a community, and you know that you have struggling Talmid Chachamim, okay? And that's redundant. Usually Talmid Chacham is struggling, correct? He's devoting his life to spiritual growth. He does not have a lot of money, and he's really struggling. So as a Kohen, you want to help him out. Here's what you can do. You can redirect the matanos that are due to you to the struggling Talmid Chacham in your community. And even if they don't have Kedusha, and that's, in other words, we don't need Rav Yosef for that. Meaning, we could have said that without Rav Yosef. The Chiddush of Rav Yosef is, even if it didn't get to your hands, meaning the Kohen can assume ownership of the Matanos and simply say, look, I'm not going to make any type of formal Kenyan, just, you know what, I know it's due to me, go give it to the Talmid Chacham. He needs it more than I do. Now, the Gemara says, "Bemakire kuhuna v'levia." Now, slow down, says the Gemara. How can a Kohen assume ownership? Remember, we talked about this yesterday. The ability of allocation. I'm sorry, it just went through a mental brain freeze. Tovas Hana, thank you. The Tovas Hana that the owner of the Matanas have, where he can determine the allocation of who's going to receive it. So the Gemara says this halacha of Rav Yosef only works if he's makire kahuna. Now, what's the precise definition of makire kahuna? So Rashi says, Kohen shayanikar bi'ir, rov b'nei adam oavim oso. He's a really popular Kohen. People in the town love him. V'nosan lo ha-matanos. And he is the default recipient of the matanos. Meaning everybody knows that when there's a pigeon or pen in town, everybody knows which Kohen is going to be getting that phone call. He's popular. So here it's not the pigeon Aben, I understand, because that's the next Masechta we're going to do. Right now we're talking about the Matanos, but the same basic idea. Everybody knows who's going to get it. So, Uva Osa Kohen, I'm still reading Rashi. Uva Osa Kohen, I'm reading Diachol Lezakus Masrosav La'achar, La'acher, Afagav Delo Asu Liyadei. Okay? That is Rav Yosef's Halacha. So the Chiddush of Yosef is halacha. You understand the punch of his statement is that the Kohen can redirect it, even though Kohen didn't even actually acquire it as of yet. Story coming up, unbelievable story coming up. Rav Yosef ikla lebe mar yochana, b'rei de Rav Chana bar adav, amulei lebe mar yuchana, b'rei de Rav Chana bar bizna. Okay, various versions of who they went to, but we have Rav and Rav Safra. Avlu igla tilsa. What was prepared was igla tilsa. Igla tilsa, right, is a good animal. What exactly it is, either it's a third born or it's a fat animal, whatever the case is, it's a phenomenal animal. Amalei Rava l'shame zachli matanasa debi'ina l'mecha lishna b'chardala. Now Rava is licking his chops. And Rava says to his shame, to his attendant, do me a favor. I want you to acquire for me the animal, the matanos of the animal, the gifts of the animal. I want the tongue, and specifically tongue with mustard. Okay. And not only that, but Rashi actually quotes from this week's Parsha. Tongue with mustard, right? The this week's Parsha, the Gimel Malachim, the three angels, come to Avram Avinu. Needless to say, Avram prepared three animals. Why? Because he cut the tongue out of each of the animals and he served tongue to the three of them with mustard. So, Mecha Lishna Bechardla Zachile. Now, Rashi goes over a couple things over here. Number one, Rashi says it's interesting that Rav is having his attendant do it for him, meaning Rav was a Kohen. Why didn't Rav just simply say, why did Rav need a middleman? So Rashi says that Rava was Mebnei Eli, as we discussed previously earlier this morning. And Rashi says, Mihu, I'm in the second wide line of Rashi. It's the last four words of the line. Mihu minafshe lo matzi shakal dechsev anasam lo shi tal miyatzmo. Umeimer name lo baile meimer havuli. Detanya chalkam shalo b'fiyam lahachi shaklam b'tarat zar ayidei nesinas kohen. Meaning because Rava wanted to learn all the things that Abaye learned. Meaning don't take it, don't ask for it. So Rava, even though he was a Kohen and he had an entitlement, but he said, I'd prefer not to do it. So then what he did is he basically used a buffer. He used his attendant, who also happened to have been a Kohen. Strange, by the way, I'll give you another issue to think about, that his attendant was a Kohen. Meaning, usually you're not allowed to be b'shamish b'kuhuna. You're in it, right? You're in it.
But he could have been Yisrael also. Why couldn't he be Yisrael?
No, because the assumption going into this Gemara is that his attendant is entitled to it, and so therefore his attendant's going to get it based on entitlement and then give it to Rava to eat.
But the thing is that if it's following the principle of Rabbi Yosef, it could be that in reverse, meaning Rabbi Yosef is transferred to Israel. So
yeah, I understand that, but the Gemara doesn't. I hear what you're saying, but the Gemara is not assuming that. The Gemara is assuming that the middleman is a Kohen.
What's the problem of the attendant being a Kohen?
You're not allowed to use a Kohen.
He's a
Kohen. Maybe
a Kohen can.
Maybe a Kohen can use another Kohen. Okay, possibly. So Amalei Rav L'Shami Zachli Matanos Debin Lamech Alusha Bechard Zachli Rav Achor Asafar Lo Achal. Now, Rav is sitting down, and he's the happiest person alive as he's eating now tongue with mustard. Rav Safra, who joined him, Rav Safra did not eat, felt that this was slightly inappropriate, and therefore did not eat.
Rav
Safra was a Kohen too? I don't know. I do not know. Okay, it's a fair question. Lo achal ikra le Rav Safra b'chalma. Now, Rav Safra went to bed that night, and he did not have a good dream. In fact, he had a very bad dream. Now, remember, Rav Safra was the one who did not eat. He didn't eat. So Rav Safra had a bad dream. And in the dream, he was read a pasuk from Mishlei. And the pasuk says, Ma'ada bega b'yom kara. Okay, on a cold day. Okay, we don't know from that. We live in Boca Raton, Florida. But on a cold day, so try wearing a worn-out garment. Not going to work. Chometz al neser. It's like putting vinegar on clay. Okay, I don't know from that. But anyway, Visar Bishirim al Lev Ra. It's like literally singing a song, as we'll see in just a little bit. It's like teaching Torah to somebody who's a bad person. Okay? We'll come back to that last line in just a moment. But meanwhile, though, in other words, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, you did not do good. You did bad. Now, Rav Safra was wondering to himself, why are you picking on me? I didn't do anything. I didn't eat the tongue. Also, coming to Rav Yosef Amalei Dama Mishum Davidia, the Avriyah Shmaita Damar Ikran Hache. So Rav Safra goes over to Rav Yosef and says, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I did wrong because I had this dream and it was bad, and maybe it's because I didn't believe in your halacha, meaning Rav Yosef allowed the Kohen to serve as a middleman, even though the matanos didn't actually get to his hand. And maybe Rav Safra says, I'm not eating the tongue because I don't feel that's halakhically acceptable that the tongue should go to the shameh, to the attendant, who's a Kohen, and then to me, and the shameh didn't even pick it up. So in other words, maybe it's because I didn't believe in your halacha. So I'm like, Amriana be'acher. Shameh ba'karcha mezakev. Echi Amriana le'mandalo efshalei. Hi efshalei. So Rav Yosef pacifies Rav Safra and says, first of all, Rav Safra, you have to know. It's not the same because here we're talking about the attendant. You tell the attendant. The attendant is not a third party. He's not impartial. He's an attendant. He's told what to do. So I don't think he serves as a good middleman. Additionally, I only allowed this halachic mechanism to work only for a Talmid Chacham who really is struggling. Baruch Hashem, you're not struggling. Rav is not struggling. So here, I wouldn't allow such a halachic mechanism to work. So Rav Yosef says to Rav Safra, you're good. So then Rav Safra says, okay, so why do I have the bad dreams? So Ve'ela, my time, Akrin Hachi, Kalpe Rava. So Rav Yosef says, that dream wasn't for you, it was for Rava. So Rav Safra asks the obvious question. So why am I getting it? So let Rava have the bad dreams. So Ulikrein la Rava, Rava Nazuf Hava. Rava was excommunicated. Okay, what does that mean? So Rashi says, I heard a pshat from my Rebbeim, but Rashi says, I'd like to offer a simple pshat. But first, here's the pshat that Rashi says, I heard from my Rebbeim. Gemara in Tanis says that Rava prayed for rain. Rava prayed for a lot of rain, excessive rain, and basically Rava changed the weather pattern. Now, the weather pattern got changed, but basically he was asking for too much from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eventually, he was put in cherem. He was put in some sort of divine excommunication. And based on that Gemara in Tanis, Rashi says, his Rebbeim say, that's what's going on over here. That's the cherem that Rava was experiencing in terms of why he didn't get the direct dream, but rather the dream was given to Rav Safra. Okay. Rashi says, can I offer a really simple pshat? Meaning, the cherem is because of what happened right here. Meaning, because Rava helped himself to the tongue, and it wasn't appropriate. Meaning Abaye says, you shouldn't take it, you shouldn't ask for it, you shouldn't even receive it. Right? And Rava, you know, he was a little bit aggressive, but for Rava that was too much. And that's the cherem over here, and that's why Rava didn't get the dream. Amalei Abaye Rav Dima, Upasha decried by Mike Siv. Now, as long as we quote this Pasuk in Mishlei, remember that last lines of the Pasuk in Mishlei? It's like singing to a bad man. What does that mean? Amalei b'sharon tamid sheino hagon. Don't teach a student who's not proper. Am Rav Yehuda, am Rav Kol sharon tamid sheino hagon nofa begehenem. Gemara speaks in extremely strong terms about teaching somebody who's not proper. Nofa begehenem. I mean, that's very strong terms for having a talmid, a student who is not proper. Shenemer kol choshech tamun l'tzfunav. Tochlehu eish. Lo nofach, be consumed by fire. Yara srid ba'alo. Why? Because he allowed a srid into his tent. Ve'ein srid el tamal chacham, and srid is a tamal chacham. Shenemar uvasridim asher Hashem korei. Amar Rebbe Zera, Amar Rav Kol Asher l'tamal sheino hagon kizorg evelam markulis. You think the Gemara couldn't speak any stronger about teaching a student who is a bad student? Gemara says it's idolatry, not the student. Meaning the one who's teaching the student.
What does it mean by the student?
I'll get to you in just a moment. Okay, don't worry. I'm troubled by the same questions.
Anyone here
fit that
description?
Shenemar, no, I hope not. It's on me. In other words, the Gemara says it's on me. It's not the student who's gonna. This is on the Rebbe. Shenemar kitzor evan b'mir gama kain no stein l'ksil kavod uksiv lo na'avel l'ksil ta'anug. There's another gears in the Gemara. If you take a look at the side of the Gemara, the Ein Yaakov has a slightly different gears about how to learn these last lines of the Gemara. Okay, I'm just noting it. We're not going to go through it right now. What makes it so bad? So, hard to say, meaning the Gemara doesn't give much more explanation, nor does Rashi. Rashi really provides no explanation over here in terms of what makes it so bad. Perhaps a simple pshat in the Gemara, and this... Right, if you read the Rambam, Rambam quotes this Gemara LaHalacha. I mean, the Rambam says, "Do not have a bad student." Take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. From the Rambam, it sounds like Because bad student means somebody who's ready to take the Torah you teach him and manipulate. And
put it to bad use.
Right, and put it to bad use. And maybe take the Torah that you teach him and, you know, form a corrupt version of Judaism. Okay, and I think I'll stop over there. Yeah, I was prepared to stop, but yes, go. Yes, something along those lines. Hamishtatif imahem sarach lirushim. We go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you go into partnership with a non-Jew, you go into partnership with a Kohen. So in other words, now you have 50-50 ownership of this animal. You don't have to give matanos. Matanos are only animals that you own exclusively. But once he has share in the animal, significant share in the animal, we'll talk more about that later on. So there is an exemption. And what you need to do is you need to make some sort of marking. The Gemara, the Mishnah wasn't clear about what the actual marking is. And Rashi says, oh, you know. To which I simply say, I don't know. But, okay, there was an easy way to mark the animal to tell the world that this particular animal is exempt from matanos. I don't want people to think I don't give matanos. So therefore, there's a marking that we put on the animal. The afilu imovi kocham, the Gemara says, but v'riminu. Gemara says, allow me to quote a brisa. This is a tosefta. Hamishatif im kohen sarach lirshom, hamishatif imovi kocham, p'sulam mikdashim. Ain't sarach lirshom. If you go into partnership with a non-Jew, you don't have to make a rishima. So, rishima is a marking, some sort of marking on the animal to tell the world that this animal is exempt from matanos. Hacha b'mayaskinan di yasev av kochavim am sachta. We had the word am sachta just a couple of days ago. It means the store. The non-Jew is sitting with you in the store, so you don't have to worry about marasayin because everyone knows I'm not giving matanos because I bought it with a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the ukimta, if that's the case, well, isn't that the same thing with the kohen? In other words, the Gemara says di yasev av kochavim am sachta. Da kavasek abe kohen. Well, that means that the Kohen is sitting with you in the store. Now, the Kohen sitting with you in the store, so I'm back to square one. So why do you need to make a Rishima? Amrei Bistra Kazavin. So the Gemara says, well, maybe people will just simply say, you know why the Kohen's there? Because he's buying his own meat. Okay. Amrei Bistra Kazavin. So if the non-Jew's in the store, you can't suggest that maybe people will say that he's buying his own meat. A non-Jew likes kosher meat. It's healthy. Elahachah b'mayizkin and diyasid ove kochavim akasafta. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the story is that the Tosefta's talking about a scenario where the non-Jew is right by the cash register. Right by the cash register. And that is a good indication that he's partnering with you. So the Gemara says, okay, the Kohen's by the cash register. Well, the Kohen by the cash register, maybe the casual observer will say to himself, oh, he's just watching the cash register. He's just guarding and protecting the cash register. Can't we say the same thing by the non-Jew? And the Gemara says, ain emuna. Now, I know the Gemara says it so categorically and so, like, matter-of-factly, but basically, people will not run to the conclusion of, oh, the guy is minding the, watching the cash register. And so people will understand that if the guy's here in the store with you and he's right by the cash register with you, he's partnering with you. Now, Ibai say, Now, Gemara gives another explanation, and I really enjoy this one because, you know, it's not exactly the way sometimes it's reversed. The Gemara says that you know that if the guy's there, you know he's partnering with the Jew in the purchasing of the meat because the guy speaks up. Now, what exactly does that mean? So, Rashi, I'll read Rashi. Rashi says, "Hutzoeg Rashi on the Ibayis Ema." It's the last half of that Rashi. Hutzo ek al titnem bekach ela bekach. Meaning the guy opens up his mouth and says, oh, we're not buying it at that price. No, no, we're going to buy it at this price. And he's going to be bartering with the butcher in terms of what exactly, what the price is going to be. Va'kol yodin sheish lo chelek ba. Ava koin sanuahu v'samich al hatavach v'ein ha'kol yodin shehu shutav. However, the Kohen is a silent partner. And the Kohen, if he's in the store, he's going to be quiet. He won't say a word, and so the casual observer will not know that the Kohen is partnering. That's why he needs the Rishima. But if you're partnering with a guy, everyone's going to know. The guy's going to open up his mouth.
It's kind of contrary to the whole concept for Kohen and anyone already getting after all these pictures because they're hot-tempered, all of a sudden the Kohen.
Yeah, and here the Kohen is quiet.
No,
no, no, no, no. But Ben's. The whole enactment of the get right. The whole enactment was because the Kohanim, you know, would fly off the handle occasionally. Okay. Yeah. Amar Mar Psulei Hamukdashim Ain't Sarich Lirshom. Psulei Hamukdashim, remember, you have a carbon that has a blemish on it, so it could be sold. And this animal, because it once upon a time was a carbon, and because it has residual kedusha, therefore is exempt from matanos. And it does not need a reshima, it does not need any marking. Why not? Ama muchamilsa v'ha anantanan, the Gemara says, I don't understand, why not? Meaning, what makes it self-evident that this animal is psula mukdashim? We learned in a Mishnah. We will learn in a Mishnah. Mishnah is coming up in Becharos. Psula mekdashim nimkarim be'idlas v'nishkatim be'idlas v'nishkalim be'litra. That when they're sold in the market like regular meat. Now you should know, it's an interesting discussion. It fundamentally should not. Meaning, let me explain this a little bit better. You have an animal that once upon a time was a carbon and now it has a blemish. So it's possible, it's disqualified as a carbon. It still has residual kedusha.
What category is it? Is it somebody that had damim or kedusha?
No, it had kedusha as a goof.
But I thought and then it had a
sell. It had a blemish. It had a blemish, so now it's going to be eaten. But eat means but I understand that. But the base of mikdash is they have to unload it. So what they're entitled to do, it's their entitlement, it's their right, is that they could sell where the proceeds are not going to go to the base of mikdash. Now, you should know that for things that once upon a time was a carbon, you have to treat it with respect, meaning it was once a carbon. And as such, you have to treat it with respect. Now, being sold in the marketplace, that's not respectful. That's not normally a way that you would want to handle something which once upon a time was a carbon. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Bechoros teaches us that you can, that you're allowed to. But the explanation over here works as follows. And again, everything I'm telling you is all Rashi. The explanation over here works as follows. Because here, if the Beis HaMikdash has an animal which has a blemish in it, they want top dollar. Meaning, right now, the value of this animal, since it's no longer qualified as a carbon, is going to be its value. Well, you're not going to get top dollar for it if you're selling it be'umdana. If you just simply approximate and you say, it's about... You sell it more if you sell it on the open market, right? The open market fetches the best price, right? That's your economics for the day. So therefore the Chachamim allowed Psulei Hamukdashim to be sold on the open market and even using a scale. And even though that's degrading, and it is degrading, but nevertheless, right, the revenue that's generated to the Beis HaMikdash is going to offset the fact that we're not treating it the best way we can. Fine. With all that stated, essentially now what the Gemara is bothered by is, well, why don't you put a Rishima? Meaning, now nobody knows that it's Psulei Hamukdashim, and you're not giving Matanos, you should put some sort of marking on it. Tirgama Rav Adar Ba'ava, come into Rav Papa, Bosanim Karim Besoch HaBayis. So the Gemara says, this Brisa is not talking about your generic Psulei Hamukdashim, it's the one that is sold from the house. What? What's being sold from the house? So Rashi says, I'll give you two simple examples. Bechor and Meiser. Firstborn animal. What happens to the firstborn animal? It's given to the Kohen. Then it has a blemish, so the Kohen cannot offer it as a as a carbon. What does a Kohen do? He sells it. Now here, think about it, based on what I explained just a couple moments ago. Where are the proceeds going? Proceeds are not going to the temple. Proceeds are going to the Kohen. Here, the Kohen, we don't have justification to sell it in the market. You can't sell it in the market. Kohen's selling it out of his house. And he's not using a scale. And he's and it's sold only, ba'umdana, it's sold only approximation. Huh? Right, right. Good. So that in that case, you don't need to make a reshima. I'm Rav Huna. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Shutav b'rosh patar min alechi. Shutav b'yad patar min azroa. Shutav b'mnei ayin patar min akeva. What if it's a limited partnership? Okay, this is not business class right now. In other words, it's a limited partnership in the sense that, let's say, the guy is only a partner with you in the head. So the exemption is only on the head, on the lechi. What if the Kohen is only, I'm sorry, the Kohen, yeah, I could say Kohen also. What if the Kohen is only partners with you in the arm? So the exemption is only in the arm. Meaning that we're going to look at the three matanos as three separate parts of the animal, three separate gifts. V'chia barav amar, afilu shuta v'achas man pata mikulan. And Chia barav says, even if it's a very limited partnership, it creates an exemption on the entire animal. Mesve, the Gemara will not like nor seem to accept the opinion of Chia Barav. Mesve, we'll go through this quickly. Harosh alivi kul shocha, ve'afil lecha mimea barosh pater. Hayash alivi kul shocha, afil lecha mimea biad pater. B'nei maim shalivi kul shocha, afil lecha mimea behen pater. It says that if the Kohen has even a small partnership in the head, it creates an exemption. Now it doesn't say exemption from what? Exemption from the head? Or exemption from the whole animal. Myla patam in alachi v'chay b'kulan, patam in azor v'chay b'kulan, patam in akev v'chay b'kulan, lo, patam mikulan. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. When it says patur, it means patur from all of it. So the Gemara says, what? V'lifni patam mikulan. So then that's what the Brisa should say. If the Brisa wanted to tell me that once a Kohen has even the smallest percentage of share in the animal, and that creates a full exemption, the Braisa should be clear about that. The Braisa should say, full exemption. Va'od. Tanya. Not only that, but we learned on the Braisa. Rosh Levi Kulo Shacha. Afil Alecha Mimea Barosh Patum in Alechi. V'chai B'kulan. And not only that, but I'm going to quote you another Braisa. And the Braisa says that if all the Kohen has is just a small percentage of just a part of the animal, it only creates an exemption in that part that he owns. But your chayv and the matanos are the rest of the animal. Tiyufta de chia barav, tiyufta. The Gemara says, rejected. Chia barav's position is rejected. So, in terms of our conclusion of partnership discussion, I'm going to explain. So in terms of our conclusion, if you have a goy or a kohen who's partnering with you in an animal, and he has, let's say it's 50-50 share, so now there's an exemption. You do not have to give matanos from this animal. If, however, he has a small percentage of the animal, let's say he has just a fraction of the leg, so now we'll look at the leg by itself, meaning you don't have to give the leg as a matana, but the rest of the animal, meaning the lechayim, the cheek and the jaw of the animal, and the tongue of the animal, and the cave and the fourth stomach of the animal, that you do have to give. So in other words, a significant percentage creates a full exemption. An insignificant percentage may create only an exemption in the part that he owns shares of, but no other part of the animal. At what point is it significant? I'm not sure. Meaning 50-50, I'm certainly comfortable saying that's a full exemption. What if he only has 30%, 20%? I'm not sure. Okay. If the Kohen is a partner, yes, it needs to be marked. If it's a non-Jew that's a partner, no, it does not need to be marked. And the Gemara goes and try to give earlier a difference, why there's a difference. The loud non-Jew and the quiet Kohen as one of the possible explanations. Stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow.